Please turn again with me to God's holy word, Habakkuk chapter 3, as we will read our text, the last three verses of this chapter, verses 17, 18, and 19. Hear God's holy and inspired word. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruits be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So far then, the reading of God's holy word and the words of our text. Dear congregation, the passage that we have just read is from a chapter, or even from a book, you could say, that is a prayer. It is a song prayer, in fact. And you might ask, well, what is a song prayer? Well, it is a prayer that can nicely be sung on behalf of thanksgiving. We are told, for instance, in verse 1 of our text chapter, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth, which can be translated as a song prayer for four-part harmony. A song prayer for four-part harmony. And at the end of the chapter, we are also reminded again that this whole prayer is indeed a song, because it is, so we are told, it is dedicated to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And so for our purpose on this Thanksgiving Day, we will take the last three verses and we will consider Habakkuk's song prayer of thanksgiving. And there are three points I want to consider with you. First, questionable circumstances. Secondly, positive communication. And then thirdly, faithful confidence. Now, congregation, Habakkuk lived in the same period as the prophet Jeremiah, which tells us already that this was a very rough time, a very fearful time for the people of Israel. He informs us already in the opening verses of his prophecy of what he sees all around him. Violence, iniquity, trouble, plundering, strife, contention, lawlessness, injustice, even perversity as well. It seems that the wicked are at that present time in control, and the few who are still righteous are shut in and shut up. Jeremiah describes it in his and the scene from his angle. You can read of that in Jeremiah 12, verse 1b. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Well, Habakkuk finds himself in questionable circumstances then. How long can this possibly go on yet? How long will God truly tolerate this yet? How far will violence and injustice and wickedness go yet before judgment day arrives on the scene? Dear people, Habakkuk can very well be a prophet of our times as well. His description of the circumstances that he saw then is not all that much different from what we see at this moment, right now. We too live under questionable circumstances, don't we? Can our existence as we know it now continue much longer? How long, for instance, how long will God still tolerate abortion and immorality as we have it today? How long will God still put up with rioting and violence and government deceits and arrogant boasting? We too live in the questionable circumstances, don't we? Now, Habakkuk did not know this, But judgment day was close at hand for him and for the people of Israel. Some 10 years after his prophecy, judgment day came in the form of Babylonian captivity. And so the question can be asked, how close are you and I, how close are we to judgment day? It is not known by any of us, obviously, although it could be sooner than we think. After all, the world is making its ripe for that day. The world seems to be in the grip of what the Apostle Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You wonder really if things could really get any worse. And it is under these circumstances you and I are called to celebrate Thanksgiving. As I mentioned already in prayer, that might not be the easiest thing for us to do. And besides, there are those personal circumstances. What impact the virus is on the congregation and on the denomination. Apparently COVID-19 has not bypassed our churches or our church leaders. And we pray for them that the Lord will heal them soon. Then there is the losing of loved ones and the pain that some of us no doubt are going through because of a lingering illness. And what a grief it is to see some of our children wandering away from the church, wandering away from the Word of God, wandering away from God Himself. What a sad thing it is when we hear of marriages breaking up. How difficult it is then, isn't it, to find reason still to thank God. How can we be thankful during all this misery? Now perhaps it is the spiritual circumstances that you and I are concerned with and has caused you some grief. You had hoped, perhaps, that there would have been a large outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us. And you would have to say, it hasn't happened yet. You've prayed for a revival of religion in our land, which calls for repentance and faith. But so you feel, it hasn't happened yet. And then you might think to yourself, what is there really to be thankful for? Well, let us listen to Habakkuk. And let us listen to how he feels about him and the people of Israel in questionable circumstances. And then we have the words of our text, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, and there you have it, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now it's a grim picture that he draws here, the first part of the text. No fruit to pick from the trees, no harvest to gather from the fields, no cattle left, empty stalls, empty pens, empty cages. Imagine, boys and girls, what it would be like if the fruit trees, which blossomed so beautifully this past spring, would not show a single apple, pear, plum, or peach. If all the corn and wheat and barley that has been sown would now appear that there's not a single grain to be harvested. What if the cows had all died in the fields and the pigs and the chickens? What if there's not a single fish to be found in the waters? Just think of it for a moment. That would make things very rough very soon for us, wouldn't it be? That would also make it very difficult to thank the Lord for anything, don't you think? But now listen to Habakkuk. He says, as it were, well, what if all of that were to happen? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Even in questionable circumstances, Habakkuk can say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing, dear people? Amazing. This is truly faith speaking. Now, you and I, we too may be living under circumstances that are very questionable. I've said a little bit about this already and explained it to you. You know it very well. The world seems to be in the grip of much that is evil. And the world is indeed ripening itself for Judgment Day. But the although, or the what if of Habakkuk, has not happened to us yet. I believe that abundant fruit has been gathered again. The fields have been harvested, or are being harvested. The cows are still giving milk. The chickens are still laying eggs. The pigs are getting ready for the market again. We still have food and drink on our tables every day. And our freezers, well, perhaps they might not be as full as they used to be, but there's still enough there, isn't it? Dear people, the what if of Habakkuk has not happened to us yet. And although we may be in questionable circumstances in other areas, we are still blessed with an abundance of harvested food and drink and much more besides. Now, if Habakkuk can say in his questionable circumstances, even with the prospect of a failing harvest, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, how much reason do we have, dear people, to say such as Habakkuk has just confessed? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Well, you see, that is thanksgiving, even amidst questionable circumstances. And so have you found it in your heart already to be thankful even amidst questionable circumstances? Well, you say, well, no, it's not easy. And that might be so. That might be so. But then speak to the Lord about this as well and let him work it out in you with his word and with his Holy Spirit. Then go to the Lord and plead with him and say, Lord, grant me that spirit of thankfulness because thou art worthy of all the words and all the expression, all the feelings and all the thoughts of my thankfulness towards thee. Well, then notice in the second place how Habakkuk celebrates his thanksgiving with positive communication. Listen to what he says, and we read from verse 18. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now again, isn't this amazing, dear people? That a Christian can do this, even in the worst of times, communicate positively about the Lord and about the God of his salvation. Oh, Habakkuk had his troubled feelings too. And he has communicated those feelings that he had. And he has communicated them with God. You can read of that in chapter 1. And then we read in chapter 2 that he stands, in fact, in his tower, that is, in his watchtower. And he is actually, boldly enough, has begun to argue with God about the direction in which things were going. He has not kept his mouth shut towards those who perpetrated evil. You can read of that in chapter 2. It is actually full of woes. Verse 6, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Verse 9, woe to him who coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. Verse 12, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Verse 15, woe unto him who giveth his neighbor drink and maketh him drunken also. And then verse 19, and these are in my own words, Woe unto him who bows before gods of wood and stone and gold and silver. You see, Habakkuk is not a man who beats around the bush. He tells it like it is. He's a man of character. He's a man of straightforward honesty, as every Christian should be. I think if he lived in our day and did not agree with your or my ways, or your or my words, or your or my direction, he would come right up to us, wouldn't he? And he would tell us all. Positive communication. How we need this today as well, don't we? Men and women with such character and with such straightforward honesty who dare to tell it like it is, right face to face to those who have to hear it. Men and women who know the art of positive communication. Oh Lord, we need such men and women, boys and girls as well. And then, it most often goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Such men and women will also have positive communication in respect to the Lord and to his wonderful, amazing deeds. They will not hesitate to express their thankfulness for the benefits which God has shown to them. And so Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now I wonder how Habakkuk has accomplished this. Will he do his rejoicing in secret, in the back room somewhere where no one else hears him? Will he do it behind closed doors, so to speak, so that it will not be readily noticeable by anyone that he is in that sort of spirit? Will Habakkuk keep his joy hidden, so that he might appear to the people of his day only as a stern, tunnel-visioned sourdough? I do not think so, congregation. Also in this, Habakkuk is positive in his communication. The very text that we have before us is proof of it, isn't it? Habakkuk, yes, he is a singing prophet. It is not all gloom and doom with him at all. He sees, yes, he sees much darkness, but he also sees great lights, and he communicates this great light to the people. I can imagine Habakkuk standing there in some prominent part in the city of Jerusalem. Whether he has a crowd around him, I am not sure. But Habakkuk communicates positively about his joy and is rejoicing, and then he speaks about my God. That's a confession of faith in public, isn't it? And whether people will listen to him, he carries on. His aim is the same. Now, perhaps people today are not much in a mood to share the joy and rejoicing of Habakkuk. But that did not dampen Habakkuk's spirit at that time. He does what he feels that he must do. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And though he's not merely speaking about some future time when he will be with the Lord in heaven, when he will enjoy full salvation, but he is primarily speaking about the present intentions, the intentions for the present time. As if to say, even if everything around me fails and falls apart, I am going to rejoice in the Lord and in the God of my salvation. And again, this is positive communication, dear people, of joy in the Lord. Well, you might ask, well, how is this possible? Well, it is obvious that Habakkuk's joy is not just a bit of thoughtless, mindless, empty, frothy joy. Habakkuk's joy is not a little bit of fake music. It is not something that has been brought on by a shot of drugs or alcohol. Nothing like that at all. Habakkuk does not find the joy in cheap thrills which the world offers. No, but he finds his joy in the Lord, whom he calls the God of my salvation. And dear people, there also and there alone will you be able to find true joy and true rejoicing, even in the Lord God of salvation, whom I trust you have confessed with sincerity, even in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. After all, he is the source, isn't he? He is the fountain, and he is the inspiration of true, spiritual, lasting joy. When he, the Lord Jesus Christ, saves us from sin and saves us from the punishment of sin, he saves unto joy, unto rejoicing, and unto thanksgiving. When Jesus Christ saves us from sins, dear people, he will also bring us back, gradually perhaps, but he brings us back to a condition, to what you and I were originally created for, to show the praises of God Almighty, our Creator. Now this is how we may celebrate Thanksgiving also this year. Whatever kind of year it may have been for you or for me, if you are a Christian and can truly confess to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then do also express true thanksgiving for who he is and for what he has done to you. Habakkuk does it by positive communication. Rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the God of your salvation. You know, you might even be able, with such rejoicing, cause an unsaved person to become jealous of what you have. And that such a person will think, ah, there is something there that I don't have. And he or she may start looking. Now, this type of joy is not merely expressed with a couple songs, such as Now Thank We All Our God. It's good to sing that song as well, truly. It is not merely expressed with a few words of thanksgiving prayer, but it is expressed, as Habakkuk expresses it, by a life of faithful confidence, as I want to show this to you lastly. But let us first sing. Let us do that from Psalter number 416, the stanzas 3 and 5, and reflect upon the words that we are singing. Oh, dear people, let us listen to how Habakkuk expresses his faithful confidence. Listen to what he has to say in verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Now Habakkuk reveals here the secret of his joy, the secret of his rejoicing. He is not about to rely upon his own strength, not at all, but on the strength of the Lord God, his Savior. And this truly is Habakkuk's secret to his joy and to his rejoicing. He has his confidence not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, his God. And dear people, if you and I want to celebrate Thanksgiving in a new and in a vibrant way, in a truly God-honoring way, if you want to joy and rejoice as Habakkuk does it, then find your strength in the Lord God of your salvation. Do not count on mustering any sort of strength in yourself to make Thanksgiving possible for you. Don't have confidence in yourself, as we have heard it already from the Apostle Paul. Perhaps the case with you is that you don't really feel like rejoicing, because you are going through a very rough time. Perhaps sadness is a far stronger emotion with you today, and the tears are far more likely to come than songs of joy or words of joy. Is it really any different at all with Habakkuk? I do not think so. But Habakkuk gets his strength for rejoicing from the Lord his God. And so can you and I. Your my strength for thanksgiving can be tapped, as it were, from the Lord our God. He, after all, has what is needed to turn your night of mourning and weeping into times of rejoicing. And the song we have just sung is a dear song to many of God's people. And I ask you, can I convince you of these same words of Psalm 42, which we sang already? But the Lord will send salvation, and by day his love provide. He shall be my exaltation and my song at eventide. On his praise, even in the night, I will ponder with delight, and in prayer, transcending distance, seek the God of my existence. This, dear people, this is confidence. Confidence, faithful confidence in the Lord. And it too is altogether a gift from God. You can read of that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then the Lord, he will show you how to go from here. Habakkuk is confident that the Lord will be with him, whatever road he takes, whatever travels he must do yet. He knows it will not be an easy road for him, but the Lord will give him feet like hinds' feet, like deer's feet, sure-footed. And it will be good even on rough and rocky terrain. And the Lord will bring him to high places where he can see more clearly what God is doing and what God will yet do for him. High places. Habakkuk, you see, he is confident in his God. Faithfully confident. And dear people, this is also how you and I may celebrate Thanksgiving today. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of God. You may do this by placing all your confidence in Him and in Him alone. And He has shown this amply and abundantly in giving His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the peace and joy of heaven to enter and come into this sin-riddled world of ours, suffer and die on the cross to pay the price for sin and to pay the price for salvation. I plead with you this hour, turn to Him in repentance of sin and entrust your whole self, your whole sinful self, to His saving provisions. The Lord calls you to do so. Learn then also to place your faith and your confidence in Him alone. And dear people, it will not fail. You too will be able to give thanks, even with joy and with rejoicing. Then it will not fail, but you too, the church and the congregation, will hear it from you, songs of thanksgiving. For us, it is Habakkuk who may be our chief singer and choir director this hour. He has set the tune for us, hasn't he? When he says, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so I ask you, will you join in such a song prayer, dear people? Because that will be to the honor of Him who has given His all. for us who had nothing. Amen. Let us now engage in prayer and seek the Lord and rejoice in Him. Let us pray. O Lord, Thou art from everlasting. Thou art the Holy One. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day. Unto us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings and to our rulers, and to those who govern over us, because we have sinned against Thee. But to Thee belongeth mercies and forgiveness. Help us, O Lord, to overcome the plague of our heart, and teach us to overcome it in the strength of the Lord. We have come together this hour for thanksgiving, but we too live under questionable circumstances. Circumstances that testify of our sin and our rebellion against Thee. As a nation, we have thumbed our noses at Thy holy law. We have broken every single commandment, not in the least the sixth commandment, and have continued to kill thousands and thousands of lives in the womb through abortion. We have lived for pleasure. We have preferred to the lie above the truth. We have scoffed at Thy word and Thy worship. We can surely expect Thy judgment to fall upon us and our nation at any time. And no doubt, a measure of Thy judgment has come upon us already through COVID-19. But, O Lord, have mercy upon us and our nation. Forgive us and cleanse us. We have heard Thy speech through the events around us, and it has made us afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. And yet, O Lord, we have much reason to be thankful. In fact, we have much reason to rejoice in Thee. For Thou art the God of our salvation. Thou hast continued even through church closures and social distancing to sound Thy word to the nations, even to nations that are opposed to Thy word. The gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ has gone into cyberspace and downloaded millions and millions of times. Through COVID-19 and social distancing, many have sought fellowship and companionship through faith in Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the power of the gospel and for the strength which Thou dost display in turning the hearts and lives to Thee, the living God. We are thankful when we can say with Habakkuk of old that the Lord God is our strength, and we know that in Thy strength we will be able to overcome the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are thankful that Thou art in control of the nations and of the climate, and that nothing happens by chance. We are thankful that Thou dost set kings and princes, presidents and prime ministers, judges and lawyers in places where they can still effectively exercise their God-given prerogatives. We are thankful that the earth still produces fossil fuels to be used for man's careful use and benefits. We are thankful for the work that is still available to men and women who want to work to provide for their families, support the churches, the Christian schools, and help the needy. We are thankful for the men and women in the medical profession who are still caring and compassionate to those who are afflicted. We are thankful, O Lord, for the men and women in uniform who at times put their own lives in danger to protect the innocent. Thanksgiving, O Lord, is owed to thee for the harvest of crops, so that our tables and cups are never bare or empty. We thank thee for the flocks that are still to be seen in the fields around us. May our thankfulness for such abundance lead us to joyfully share it with others, and that in our sharing we may speak of our joy in the God of our salvation. We thank thee for the faithful work of our office bearers, our seminary professors, our evangelism and missionary workers, and for the fruit that can be seen upon their labors. We thank thee above all and beyond all, O Lord Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice thou hast made in coming to this earth according to thy Father's will, and hast taken upon thyself the burden of condemnation for the sins of thy people, and has done so particularly on the cross. We thank thee for the offer of salvation and for the gift of the Holy Spirit to apply such a salvation to unworthy sinners such as we are. We thank thee for the gift of repentance and for the gift of faith, whereby we may embrace salvation and eternal life. We thank thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for who thou art, gracious, merciful, forgiving, loving, compassionate, faithful, and mindful of our human frailty. Receive, O Lord our God, our thanksgiving, as it is expressed in human weakness. Stretch forth thy mighty hand in answer to our prayer, and let thy beloved ones thy great salvation share. And bless us, O Lord God, as we leave this place, and as we reflect upon the things we have heard, that we too may seek thee in a time when thou mayest be found, and that we may learn to rejoice and to joy in the God of our salvation. And Lord God, we thank thee for the opportunity that we could gather around thy holy word this morning in this congregation, and that together we could encourage each other to seek the Lord God, to seek his salvation, to seek his strength, and to seek it evermore, and to find it through him who gave himself on the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise thee for what thou hast done, and grant that we may be able to speak to others about it in such a fashion that it may draw others unto thee, and that we may see and hear many more come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bless this congregation, bless the brothers, elders, and deacons, bless its pastor, bless each and every one, young and old, that we may walk in the ways that are pleasing to thee, and that in all of this thou would have the praise and the honor and the glory, and that forevermore. And we ask this all with thanksgiving, in Jesus' precious name, amen.